Hello and welcome aboard another episode of the Gallant Says podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, but live at youtube.com/PaulGallant and twitch.tv/GallantSays Mondays and Thursdays from 6 to 7 Central. It is Monday, June 5th of 2023. We're going to talk about something controversial that the Houston Texans did, along with some other corporations. It's that month! We're also going to take a look at a recent development that I hope is not going to be the start of a daily headline we're reading about. And I'm not talking about artificial intelligence here. But first, I want to answer an email that I actually got at gallantsays@gmail.com. It's about time you fuckers ask me a question. This is from Randy. Paul, I heard you have jury duty early tomorrow. Will you try to get out of it? That is a good question. Seems like it is something that would be very hard to actually get out of. Very, very hard. I took a look online. Exemptions from jury service. You are 70. You have legal custody of a child or children younger than 12 years of age. I have a cat. And your jury service requires leaving the child and children without adequate supervision. Well, I would love to supervise my cat at all times. She's sitting off to the right now with a very pissed off looking face because she's trying to nap. But my voice is like a fucking foghorn. You are a student of a public or private secondary school. Not anymore. You are enrolled and attend an institution of higher education. Not anymore. You are an officer or employee of the Senate, the House of Representatives, or any department, commission, board, office, or other agency in the legislative branch of state government. Nope. Primary caretaker of a person who is invalid or unable to care for himself, herself, nope. Served as a petit juror in the municipal courts, county courts in the last 24 months, nope. Member of the U.S. military on active duty, deployed outside the city limits of Houston, nope. Shit. All right. Well, yeah, I don't have any of those. And it says that anyone who fails to comply with the summons is subject to a fine of no less than 100, no more than 1,000. And you'll be fined not less than 100, nor more than 500 if you fail to attend court in obedience to the notice without a reasonable excuse. I guess I can send them a letter. I also looked up online, like, what are things you can do to get out? Because I have a show tomorrow. My show's at 10 a.m. The jury duty starts at 8. I've been summoned for jury duty a couple of times. I've never actually been picked for jury duty, though. Just basically sat in a room for, I don't know, like 30 minutes to an hour. And then eventually, once you're done, and you leave. Things that you're not supposed to do that can get you out, but not have you held in contempt of court. Arrive late. Well, that could actually get you a contempt of court charge. Act disinterested by not making eye contact with the judge, slouching in your seat, giving short, uninterested answers to their questions. You could dress inappropriately. Oh, it could make you appear unprofessional and unreliable. So casual, revealing, or eccentric. Maybe I just wear this t-shirt tomorrow. Say something controversial, but that also could have you held in contempt of court. Okay, so I have options here. Personally, I do feel like I have a civic duty, though, to uphold here, so I'm probably going to dress nice and do what I'm supposed to. But the worst part is you go there and you don't even get selected. Like, I want to actually get selected if I go all the way down there and sit and wait. And generally, you don't even get picked. You just end up being there. Anyway. Let's get into our first topic today. The headline on YouTube reads, "Were the Houston Texans pandering here?" I don't know how many of you guys saw this last week. And look, I can understand how this might rub some people the wrong way. I also understand how for others this is a giant nothing burger, and I would call myself as someone who believes this is a giant nothing burger. But last week, on the 1st, the Houston Texans tweeted out this. For those who don't see it, it is a Houston Texans logo in front of a bunch of rainbow colors, which is the Texans' way of saying Happy Pride Month. They even have a tweet celebrating love. Happy Pride Month from the Houston Texans. And they are not the only team in sports to have done something like that. I saw that the Tampa Bay Rays did a little gif of Tropicana Field with a rainbow-colored top. Someone who used to live in St. Petersburg, Florida, that is a city that has become, I would say, a lot more progressive on the outside than it was when I was there for high school. There are other teams as well who have changed their logos to a pride rainbow or have some sort of rainbow in the background. 56% of CFL, Canadian Football League, teams have done it. 7 of the 30 teams in baseball have done it. The Orioles, Mets, A's, Phillies, Giants, Cardinals, and Rays. 52% of soccer teams have done it, including the Houston Dynamo and Seattle Sounders. 3 teams have done it in the NBA. It is the NBA offseason for a lot of teams. The Cavs, 76ers, and Jazz. 9 of 32 teams in the NFL have done it, including the Texans, the other teams, the Cardinals, Bills, Lions, Chargers, Vikings, Eagles, Seahawks, and Commanders. And in the NHL, you've got 12 teams that have done it. So lots of professional sports teams are doing something like this. They are having a pride night at the stadium. You see June 21st for the Houston Astros against the New York Mets. So I see this, and there is a part of me that wants to believe that the Houston Texans are doing this out of the goodness of their heart, that the Houston Texans are somebody that actually thinks, like, you know what? Gay people have had it pretty rough for a while, and those in the community, we're going to make a show of solidarity with them. But there's another part of me, the skeptic in me, that wonders if they are doing this to get some, I guess, cool points online. Am I wrong for asking that question? Because there's a part of me that feels that way. There's a part of me that just wants to believe that there are good people out there and that the Texans are thinking to themselves, yeah, this is our way of showing that we stand in solidarity with some people that for a time were persecuted. Maybe not so much today. It seems like they are not necessarily a protected class, but it feels like if you are to speak out against it for whatever reason, because of your religion or because of whatever other personal beliefs you might have, you're probably going to receive a lot of pushback, especially if you do it in an online forum. And if it is a show of solidarity, I have no problem with it because I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to not be divisive, but that's what's funny is that it has the unintended effect of being divisive with some. And I can get why in a month like this, where there's such a sheer volume of things that corporations, not just professional sports teams, we're talking actual companies are doing. I understand why some people out there see the sheer volume of it and they're like, fuck this. It's so much. I mean, we all hate commercials as it is. It's 2023. We all prefer they just don't exist. I think that people who make commercials, they know that now. So a lot of these things, I guess, turn into art commercials, conversation starters, which in a way are just calling attention to yourself. And maybe not for the sake of showing what the product you're trying to sell does, but for like, hey, we're relevant. Remember us? Oh yeah, buy our fucking shit too. And I don't think any of these conversation starters are actually conversational enough to change people's minds on super divisive issues. And that's where we get into the question of whether or not a team like the Houston Texans and some of these other teams are pandering. And I feel like more than ever these days, we see corporations in particular really leaning into Gay Pride Month in a way that they don't necessarily do with Black History Month or other months of the year that are designated to celebrate specific minorities across the country. And maybe it's because conversations about sexuality and gender are such juicy meat in the culture war these days. It also could be because it's a slow time in the sports year, but it just feels like this month is different from other months. And maybe this is also a byproduct of me following a lot of meme accounts that make fun of the fact that these corporations are like, hey, we're gay too. So I took a look just to get a feel for like the populations of our country and how many people actually identify as something other than heterosexual. I saw some poll from last year. It's gone up over the last 10 years from 3.5% to 7.1%. More acceptance maybe leads to more people feeling comfortable coming out into the open with who they are, which is great, right? And it seems like that number is going to continue to increase. But is that a big population of the country? Is that a big enough minority population to get this kind of specific attention? I wonder about that. And I'm actually going to bring it back to the Houston Texans in just a moment. So the United States has 333 million people plus as of July of last year. By percentages, white and non-Hispanic is 59.3%, Hispanics 18.9%, Blacks 13.6%, Asian 6.5%, Native American 1.3%. So 7.1%, that's a pretty sizable population that probably ranges from white to Hispanic to Black to Asian to Native, right? So, okay, I mean, that's enough people to, at the very least, call attention to and stand in solidarity with if you want to create new customers, which is kind of fucked up that we're looking at it as opposed to like doing the right thing or just being a kind person. But they're corporations. They make money. I don't like to believe that all of a sudden they're doing this out of the goodness of their heart. They probably know that this is going to get attention to them. And there's something that the Houston Texans don't do very much, which I still do not understand. And I decided to look up online to see when the last time the Houston Texans called attention to Latino, Latina, Latinx, if that's how you're supposed to pronounce it. Because if you've ever gone to a Houston Texans game, you'd probably notice that there's a lot of Latin American fans who go, a lot. And you would think that this city, given its demographics, would go out of its way to really embrace that culture. In the same way that you see that tweet that the Texans put out with the Gay Pride colors. And this is not me wagging my finger at the Texans, but I'll show it to you right now. And you can watch this at youtube.com/Paul Gallant or twitch.tv/Gallant says. I looked up online at Houston Texans Latino, and the last posts that the Houston Texans made that had that word in it were in 2021. July 8th of 2021, December 2nd of 2021, August 10th of 2021, September 2nd of 2019, July 15th of 2020, and that's it. I decided, okay, I'm going to look up Latina. Last time we have something tweeted about a Latina or a Latina-owned business was October 1st of 2021. And to go a little bit further, even Latinx, Latinx, whatever it's supposed to be, September 20th of 2021, August 7th of 2020, and that's it. And again, this isn't the end of the world. I just think it's interesting that the Texans will pander to this specific group during this specific month, and that they don't pander to a demographic that they should do a much better job with. And this is something that I've felt when I've gone to some of the closed-door meetings the Houston Texans have had, telling us about their brand and all that stuff. And this isn't me trying to be woke either, which I'm sure some people are listening or commenting right now and thinking that. I think that it's weird, though, that in this situation, that that's where the Texans chose to, I guess, show solidarity with a community. And it's not to say that there aren't gay and transgender and lesbian and LGBTQ Texans fans. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, though, it's kind of surprising that this is a conversation that they felt comfortable jumping in when they haven't done it in the past with Hispanic Texans fans. So anyway, that's the subject of today's show, guys. Anyone scared off? Eastside Herald comments at youtube.com/Paul Gallant. I got a fetish for thick Latinas, for your information. Thank you for sharing with everybody. We all needed to know that somebody out there in the world has a fetish for thick Latinas. And then he specifies females. Okay. Well, it is Pride Month. Look, when I host my radio show, there's a lot of people that think I lean one way. And you know what I like to do? I like to never reveal my hand. Look, there are still moments, too, where it's clear that we haven't, like, gone that far. I saw a couple of videos, and it seemed to have, like, an implication of, like, you're gay if you do this. First, it came from Charles Barkley, who was courtside, I think, with NBA TV after one of the games of the NBA Finals between the Heat and the Nuggets. And he seemed to imply that if you FaceTime somebody else, you're not a real man. Again, let's see where this goes.
Hey, the ball goes further.
We play tomorrow, it's going to affect them.
I cannot wait to play you tomorrow. It's great. You be sending me videos of your swing. Be FaceTime me. You know dudes don't FaceTime each other. That's inappropriate.
Really?
Dudes don't FaceTime each other, man.
What?
Dudes don't FaceTime each other.
All right, Chuck.
Okay. I love Shaq saying, all right, Chuck. Dudes don't FaceTime each other. I don't know. I have a friend who FaceTimes me all the fucking time, and I don't want him to FaceTime me ever. Kyle, I love you, but fuck. Send me a text. So I do feel it from that perspective, but what? Like, dudes don't FaceTime each other. Why? Like, dudes can FaceTime each other occasionally. Some comments here. YouTube.com/Paul Gallant. Michael Davis. Big booty Latinas need more representation. Rick Hagwood says, dude, I'm 67, grew up in Montrose, had many gay friends, still do, who somebody loves is nobody's business but their own. I totally agree with you here. Totally agree. I feel also, though, that over the last couple of years that there has been a movement in the direction of, like, not necessarily just acceptance. It's like, accept this as we do a touchdown dance in your face. And some people are uncomfortable with it. I'm not saying that they're right. I'm saying also, don't be a dick, right? Like, we should all be kind to one another. I think it's great that people feel comfortable. But when an organization decides to put itself in the middle of something like this, are they actually doing it for noble intentions? Are they doing it because they actually stand with people like this? Or are they doing it because they realize it's going to help them out from a PR perspective? And we all know that the Houston Texans are about as low as it gets from a PR perspective, even if they did hire D'Amico Ryans, right? So it's something that's on my mind. Anyway, to get back to where I was going, like, there still is a weird, like, level of toxic masculinity and stuff like that. And I hate to even fucking say that word. I can't believe I said that. When it comes to weird stuff like that, like fruity drinks or, again, FaceTiming. Here's Shannon Sharp on one of his last shows with Skip Bayless going on a weird rant about Aaron Rodgers FaceTiming other people.
Everybody know, well, hell, if you only get one bar with regular reception, how the hell you get FaceTime? FaceTime goes on more internet than regular
I would
call.
Think so, yeah.
But then you're going to talk about a grown man going to...
You're saying FaceTime requires more juice.
Yes!
Yeah, right, okay.
So if you only got one bar to zero bars with a regular service, how are you going to get FaceTime? And what grown man FaceTime with another grown man? I ain't trying to see you like that.
No.
Your big old face pop up in my screen. Nah, I can just call you, hey, bro, what's up? Hey, what you doing today? Hey, man, you crazy, man. Yeah. Y'all, you crazy. Come on, Aaron.
All right. I don't know where Shannon's going on that one. I really don't. But, like, weirdly, like, feels all of a sudden that if you FaceTime another man, that you're not a man. I don't know. It's kind of weird. weird ledge to put yourself on. But okay, fine, whatever. So there is a level of us being weirdly insecure with seeming like we're not masculine, a lot of us out there. But I also can understand why people are getting a bit annoyed with the very in-your-face nature of Pride Month, especially when it comes to corporations who seem to be pandering. This is something that went viral a couple of years ago. This is from Ford. Ford posted a video, and the video received a strange comment, and they decided to troll that comment. It's actually pretty funny. And if you're watching, again, youtube.com/PaulGallant, twitch.tv/Gallant says you can actually see what they did. Our latest Ford Raptor reveal. Right now, it's a video. It's reading. Our latest Raptor reveal has had a lot of attention, but one comment stopped us in our tracks. The comment reads, "Well, that's a cool car. That blue color is very gay. Hey, Ford, paint it in black and gold or camo." The video continues. Right now, that's airbrushing a Ford and using Photoshop, it seems like. They just put glitter all over the car. They just put a rainbow on the car. And then it says Apple. Ford, celebrating over 25 years of LGBTQ plus advocacy across Europe. Interesting. I didn't even know that Ford had advertisements overseas, right? Because it seems like, especially Europe, Fords are huge fucking cars. What roads are they going to fit on? Michael Davis asks the question, youtube.com/PaulGallant, is writing a letter to another man suspect? No, but Shannon Sharp and Charles Barkley might find it that way. Rick Hagwood, the Montrose Art Festival was a blast. Watching the crazy wild shit going on was a seriously fun day. Yeah, I can imagine. I used to go to Royal Oak, which is in Montrose, on Sundays. That place was an absolute fucking shit show. Anyway. You see that commercial right there? That's Ford having fun with a troll, right? I don't think it's anything to get mad about. It's not an advertising campaign either. It's just a tweet for shits and giggles. So I think to some, even people that maybe are like, okay, like I'm kind of annoyed with all these ads. I think that's a fun way to go about things. But there is a line that I think you can theoretically cross. And I don't know if people feel this way about this ad that went re-viral, even though it came out a year ago, as if it was just re-released. But this was Ford going further, based off of the tweet from a couple of years ago, with a YouTube video titled, "Ford Very Gay Raptor Redefines Tough for a New Generation." It says it's rated LGBTQ flag for progress. Features performance, pickup action, and contains extreme off-road driving, water sprays, drifting, jumps, and rainbows. And if you actually watch it, this video, you'll see, you know, there's a muddy car driving around. There's another muddy car driving around. Oh, look, they're Fords. We're driving off-roads. Fuck yeah, dude. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Vroom, 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 vroom. And then they drive through the water, and the water washes off all the mud. And it seems like the water really, like, got a lot of the mud off. I don't know if that's believable, realistic. But you notice that one of the Fords is rainbow-colored. And once again, this is becoming the subject of the culture war, where some people who just want to get mad about all that stuff are using it to get mad, and other people are like, it's not that big of a deal. But the big thing that we should be talking about, how this is a corporation that's inserting itself into this because it wants people to talk about it. It's being a whore for attention here. This is what they're going to do. And when you do stuff like that, are you helping? That's what I wonder. Is pandering like this helping, or is it actually a turnoff at this point? Because you're doing it to get approval from the people that you think will approve you, right? Is this going to sell more cars? Because 7.5% of the population like this rainbow truck? I imagine there's some people in the community that are like, fuck this, this is stupid. We get it. You're trying to suck us off. No. Pass. Back off. You're being too, you're trying too hard here. So it's one of those things that I feel like we've got to go back to the drawing board on this month. It's one thing to show solidarity, but some of these companies, I think, are really going down the rabbit hole of complete pandering. Rick Hagwood comments, youtube.com/Paul Gallant. I think homophobic people are scared of their own thoughts and overcompensating to try and bury their thoughts. Maybe. I don't know if it's their own thoughts. That does seem logical. I think some people have just been raised to believe, though, that you need to be the manliest man that there is. And I know there was once a time where I felt that way, but as I've gotten older, I've realized, like, who gives a shit about any of this stuff? We're all going to die eventually. Why are we so hung up on the way others perceive us? Why not just do what you like? If you got thick skin, just deal with the shit talk that you might get. Again, like, people ask me if I'm gay all the time on the radio show. I don't give a fuck. I really don't. I don't find that insulting or anything like that. I don't. Some people do. I know for a lot of people, you call them the other F-bomb or something like that, man, they will lose their mind about just the implication. Even if you're doing it in a joking manner, circa like 2005, when that word was still used commonly. So I'm not sure where it all stems from. Rick might be onto something there. In a nutshell, I think that this is a month that gets very annoying when it comes to commercials and advertising. I feel like the Houston Texans are trying to capitalize off it in a way. And sure, there's some goodness out of their own heart being done here, but this is a team that's about as rock bottom as it gets from a PR perspective, doing everything they can to win favor back. And is it working? I honestly don't know, but I feel like you can see that this is what they're trying to do here. While we're in the midst of the culture war, this is also something that took place last week. It's pretty crazy to believe that it's been 3 years plus since George Floyd died and the chaos that came after. You would think that some of these same sports teams that are celebrating Pride Month would perhaps have tried to commemorate George Floyd in some way, shape, or form. But that movement seems to have died or been forgotten. And it led to another, like, one side or another side argument in the culture war that we're all unable to get the fuck away from. It's this idea that either you back the blue even when they're wrong, talking police officers, and then there's the all cops are bastards movement. And maybe someday we will find a medium between the two. But it ain't happening anytime soon. And as someone who used to live in Seattle, Seattle could have used a few more cops while I was there. They're leaving in droves. And once the pandemic started and the autonomous zone and all of those things, the city slowly became more and more unsafe feeling. Luckily, I'm a 5'11", 170-pound guy. I don't think that many people are going to come up to me and try to take me. Not to say I'm imposing or anything like that, but I do think at the very least I look like I would be a difficult out. But if you're a smaller person or if you're a woman or something like that, I imagine you're looking over your shoulder a lot in Seattle, especially if you're in any part of downtown. And is less police the direct cause of that in Seattle? Maybe. It could be. I don't know if I can argue it is the direct cause, but you can't argue that the departure of police officers in Seattle have had zero impact on the uptick in crime. But at the same time, there are some bad cops out there. And when you see stories like this and they go largely unreported, you're like, what the fuck? I don't know how many people saw what took place in Indianola, Mississippi. Nakula Murray has filed a criminal affidavit against the Indianola police officer who shot her 11-year-old son, Adarian Murray, in the chest last month while responding to a call the child made to report a domestic disturbance. He is recovering after being hospitalized. Her affidavit, which she filed in the Sunflower County District Court Office Monday, accused Greg Capers, a police officer, a black police officer, of causing bodily harm to my minor son, Adarian Murray, who is also black. The boy called 911 in the early morning hours of May 20th at his mother's request when her ex-boyfriend showed up at their home. The family says that when Adarian complied with the officer's command for everyone to exit the house with their hands up, that he fired on him. Jesus fucking Christ. Right? That's terrifying. He's 11. What was this cop thinking? 11. So we'll see what happens there. I'm surprised that this story has not made national headlines. Is it because it's in Mississippi? But I mean, the cop shot an 11-year-old kid. It should be a bigger deal. So you see a story like that and you're like, yeah, there are bad cops out there. They're not all good. It's a very difficult job. And I'm not trying to make excuses here. It's probably a job that has a very low degree of entry considering the stakes that you carry with you as you go to make an arrest. But I mean, it is what it is. We still need some of them out there. The problem is when the bad ones do bad things or fuck up, they got to be called out and removed from the job. And I would imagine that this police officer, the Indianola, Mississippi police officer, Greg Capers, is probably going to be out of a job pretty soon. Terrible story. And luckily the kid is okay, but he got shot in the chest. He's 11. Awful. We also have another story, and this one takes place a little bit closer to home. There's a viral traffic stop that took place in a Buc-ee's parking lot. For those who don't know what Buc-ee's is like this massive, massive chain of rest stops that are located in Texas. And here is a video of a body cam arrest where a Texas cop who arrested a guy in a parking lot at Buc-ee's has been removed from the streets and is now under investigation over how he handled a traffic stop. Officer Scott Harrell at the Texas City Buc-ee's stopped Christopher Scholl while he was filling up his car with gas. Here we go, courtesy of YouTube. You can watch the show at youtube.com/Paul Gallant or twitch.tv/Gallant Says.
Come here every day, dude. I send pictures of my wife the price of the gas here every day when I come through.
Okay, look.
So,
anyway. Here's the deal, man. I'm not going to go back and forth and all that. I'm not going to write you tickets, but the only reason I'm not writing you tickets is because I'm out of tickets right now. Okay, otherwise you would be receiving a citation.
For what? What did the citation? I'm just curious.
Disregarding traffic control device.
On private property?
Yes.
Okay.
You still can't do that. It's still illegal.
Okay.
So, I'm not going to write you a ticket.
I hear you, man. I understand.
I don't appreciate the attitude.
Pause. So, I've watched this video a couple of times. the cop took issue with this guy driving through the parking lot, I guess not in the traditional lanes of traffic. The guy said that he drives into this parking lot every single day to take pictures of the price of gas. The cop thought he was driving through it unsafe. If you watch the video to this point or you're listening to this point, like, this is a pretty civil back and forth. But then in this spot right here, the police officer said, like, well, I don't appreciate your tone. Also, I'm not giving you a ticket because I'm out of tickets. Any, I think, rational person is probably going to be a little annoyed that they were pulled over only to not get a ticket. And when you ask questions, valid ones, in a measured voice, that you're met with, like, I don't appreciate your attitude. I'm sorry, but are cops now expecting us to ask how high to jump when they pull us over? If you have questions about why you were pulled over, I think it's totally fair to ask. And that's why they got these body cams. And it's good that they have this body cam, which has been released to the public. Anyway, this video continues. If you're watching it right now, youtube.com/PaulGallant or twitch.tv/Gallant says, you will see that this guy has a grin on his face. Face, and he seems rather incredulous.
Two, I get it. You're upset. Nobody likes cops pulling up on them. Nobody likes it, okay? But you know you did wrong. You know you're not supposed to cut through the parking lot. And instead of being like, oh, yeah, I messed up. Sorry, it won't happen again. You want to sit here and go back and forth with me, right?
There's a lot better things than this to be doing for you.
You're right. I was working on a report.
You can be over here. There's people right now running 90 miles an hour on the thing.
You want to go to jail? You want to go to jail? You could go to jail for this.
You can do what you want to do. I can't stop.
I don't want to take you to jail. That is definitely a waste of my time.
The cop is continuing the conversation here. Just leave. End the interaction. Go back to your car. There's this parental tone, which I get because he thinks the guy did a violation with which he's talking here. And I get that you're supposed to respect police officers here. But when the guy, like, just continues to engage and tell him that the person who has questions about why he was pulled over was wrong, I don't know. I kind of get why he's continuing to push back.
Okay, but the attitude is not necessary.
I don't think he's showing any attitude here, to be perfectly honest. I don't know where the cop's seeing it or feeling it, but to this point, I haven't seen any. That will change in a moment.
That's on your part, sir. I haven't been rude to you at all.
That's fine.
I have a camera on. I can't be rude to you.
Okay. All right.
I will get in trouble. You go file a complaint.
See, he just keeps it going. He keeps it going and going and going. This conversation could have been over a minute and 20 seconds ago.
My behavior, they will decide whether or not to get me in trouble.
I'm not worried about that. Good, man.
Okay. All right, well, I'll make sure that I'm there all the time. If I see it happen again, then we'll go from there, okay?
Okay.
All right.
I'll look that law up on private property, too. I don't believe you have the authority to do anything here on this parking lot like that.
I could also take you to jail for Class B reckless driving.
See, maybe this guy shouldn't have said, I'm going to look this rule up, but if he's got questions, he's got questions. And this is where it starts to go to shit.
Okay. Class A reckless driving. Okay. Because you did almost hit that car.
I didn't almost hit anybody. I was nowhere near. There's cameras everywhere. You can do what you want to do, Harold. I can't stop you. If you want to be this way, then that's up to you. I'm trying to be a reasonable
person.
Are you
having a bad day, sir? Is there a reason why you're acting like
this? I'm having a bad day because you're doing this to me.
Have I raised my voice to you at all, sir? You're the only one who's getting upset.
I'm upset because I think this is ridiculous. I think this whole thing is ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous.
What do you think is ridiculous?
That we're even talking about nothing happening. And here we are talking, and you're threatening to take me to jail.
I shouldn't be getting upset? I don't call it a threat, sir.
It's a threat. That is a threat. You're threatening me under Colorado law now to take something on private property, which I don't believe you even have the authority to do.
It's a dictionary term, sir.
Okay.
It comes from black law.
No, it's
dictionary.
Not. It's a Class A misdemeanor for you to threaten to arrest me over something that you know is not really true. But that's okay.
What's the penal code on that, sir?
Trust me. That's okay.
Trust you.
Okay.
I
we're good.
trust you.
We're good.
I don't feel like we are. I feel like this is this is a problem.
How is it a problem?
I feel like you're going to continue to commit these behaviors that are unsafe and put people at risk. You don't feel like you did anything wrong.
Something that's possible they may do in the future. So now we're playing Jean-Claude Van Damme future cop. And
that's such a line. We're playing Jean-Claude Van Damme future cop. A-plus line by that guy. Who, I would say for the most part, has remained calm. He's asking questions, and the cop continued this conversation with a little bit more needling. If you're not going to give him the ticket, then why is he going to take you seriously? I guess, especially when you continue to push and push it like, well, if you do this again, I'm going to get you. But if you're not giving him the ticket there and you're continuing to engage in this conversation, like, where the fuck do you think this is going to go?
You need to stop me from something I may do in the future. That's now your position. You're feeling like you should take action because maybe sometime in the future I might possibly continue to do something. Come on.
What is the law designed to do, sir?
Oh, I know you want
designed
compliance.
To stop people
I know,
from doing
I know you
things
want
that they're not supposed
compliance.
To be doing.
I know you want voluntary compliance.
Okay, go ahead and put your hands on the
mic. Wow.
There you go. And it's stuff like that where you're like, hey, can you guys make it easier for people to defend you? And it's one cop here, and this wasn't a situation that turned violent, and there wasn't a death or anything like that. But this entire exchange seemed unnecessary, and I'm glad that this guy's lawyer was able to get the video released. But this is something that happens. What else do we have here? You can join us, youtube.com/PaulGallant, twitch.tv/Gallant says, Rick Hagwood says, my dad taught me to say yes, sir, and let it fly, not argue. Probably the smartest thing to do if you just want to leave the situation. I'll admit that I am someone that if I have that information available to me in my mind, I would think about arguing. But seeing this video, I now know better than to do something like that. I generally try to be charming. I've been pulled over twice. Both times I've been pulled over while driving. I remember having conversations with the cop, and I got out of both tickets. Not like I bribed or anything like that. I assumed I was going to get a ticket. I was apologetic, and they were like, you know, you're going too fast. I was like, yep. And that was it. That's happened twice. Maybe I'm lucky on that front, but I remember that happening and thinking to myself, I did the right thing in those spots, as opposed to being annoyed or huffy or something like that. But in this situation where you're outside your car, you're filling up the tank of gas, and the cop pulls up behind you, and you're done, and you have questions, and you're trying to bite your tongue, and you do bite your tongue for the most part, but the guy just keeps on going and going and going. I don't know. I don't know how I would act. But you're probably right, Rick, in that you should just shut the fuck up in that situation. Terrell145 says, grow the beard back. Nah, not for a while at least. Anyway, one last story before we hit the road, and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to believe anymore when it comes to UFOs. Or what I'm going to do when we get some real confirmations here. But this was interesting. A former intelligence official turned whistleblower has given Congress and the intelligence community inspector general extensive classified information about deeply covert programs that he says possess retrieved intact and partially intact craft of non-human origin. Jesus! The information, he says, has been illegally withheld from Congress, and he filed a complaint alleging that he suffered illegal retaliation for his confidential disclosures reported here for the first time. Other intelligence officials, both active and retired, with knowledge of these programs through their work in various agencies, have independently provided similar corroborating information both on and off the record. The whistleblower David Charles Grush, who is 36, a decorated former combat officer in Afghanistan, a veteran of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency and the National Reconnaissance Office. He served as the reconnaissance office's representative to the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force from 2019 through 2021. From late 2021 to July of 2022, he was their co-lead for UAP, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Analysis, and its representative to the task force. There seems to be a story every single week, whether it's a video or some sort of story about UFOs, UAPs, whatever the fuck they want to call them. And I am just waiting and waiting for us to get an admission. Do you think we'll ever get it? There is a part of me that wonders about a lot of the things that our government has been able to keep secret from us. I would specifically point to the depths to which the CIA and other government agencies seemingly have hidden what really happened to John F. Kennedy from us for a while. If you go back and look at the Warren Report, it's fucking crazy. It's pretty nuts that the Warren Report revealed as little as it did. And that is the Commission on the Assassination of President Kennedy. I guess it was the Warren Commission officially. But if they were able to keep some of those details a secret as they did, and I read this book called The Devil's Chessboard that's definitely made me look with a side eye at a lot of the findings of that commission, I really do wonder what the government's been able to hide from us when it comes to UFOs. Rick Hankwood says, dude, they exist. I don't have enough clicks to explain, but I have been an actual witness when I was in the Navy back in 1978. Jesus Christ. Well, there we go. And I think we're at the point now where can you really turn up your nose or ignore some of the people that have said that they saw it? And so many people have been discredited in extreme manners for saying that they saw something. And maybe just saying, I saw something and I can't explain it, should that be something that gets people in trouble? But I know that there's a lot of people that have served in the armed forces and have seen shit like that. Especially, I would imagine, pilots who see that. And what do you say? Do you say you saw it and then all of a sudden have your wings taken away and get sidelined forever? Or do you do your in your mission briefing afterwards or whatever they call it, do you say, like, I saw this, and then the guy who's in charge of you tells you, yeah, you're never going to talk about this with anybody. You're probably going to fall in line, much like you are supposed to with the cop that we played the video of a little bit earlier. I wonder about that. How much have they actually successfully kept from us? I used to believe that conspiracies, it's impossible for them to be kept secret from us forever. And I'm not going to act like I'm a massive conspiracy theorist, but reading that report reading that book that I read that had a lot of details about JFK's assassination does make me think that the government's pretty damn good at keeping secrets from us. And maybe it's because we think, because we live in the United States and because Watergate happened, that we are in a country where that doesn't happen like it does in the Soviet Union when that it still existed, or other communist countries, or maybe banana republics, but I don't know. Rick says, our captain ordered the whole incident deleted from the ship's log. That sounds about right. Jesus. So that's the latest thing that we saw. Look him up. David Charles Grush, G-R-U-S-C-H. Anyway, this show's been all over the place. We're probably going to be very all over the place throughout June and July before we get back into the thick of football season. But if you were able to make it through an episode that talked about gay pride, police, and UFOs, I appreciate you. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. And you can watch the show live Monday and Thursday nights at 6 o'clock Central Time. We end the show at 7. So if you're just tuning in, like Virginia Bunweed, now you know. Mondays and Thursdays, 6 to 7 Central Time. I appreciate y'all so much. We will be back at it Thursday night, again, 6 Central. Until then, so long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Peace!